now, your hosts for Life from the Pulpit. Here's Nick Perez.
Yes, and how's it? You can't stop it. You can only hope to contain it. The fastest half-hour podcast in the West. This is Life from the Pulpit, coming to you live and local from deep in the heart of the San Joaquin Valley, deep in the heart of Merced Church of Christ. I am your guide on this excursion into theology and other sundry matters, the voice of the valley, Nick Perez. Offering him news and views you can use on Scripture and society with a little help from my friends. Greetings and welcome to the program. Lots to get to today. And I hate to even bring this up once again, but it's in the news, and so therefore I do. Rob Bell, who I've already done an episode when he, back in March, he came out, as it were, in favor of homosexual marriage. He believes that, hey, love is love, and he's for love, and therefore, even if it's a homosexual relationship, that doesn't, you know, he's okay with it. Well, apparently he's on a book tour. He's got a book coming out. And as part of this book tour, he went overseas to the UK and apparently got in a little bit of a debate with someone. Guy by the name of Andrew Wilson, who's a Christian British minister. He's a published theologian, elder at King's Church in Eastbourne, East Sussex. They were on a show called Unbelievable, because it's got a question mark at the end. It's hosted by Justin Brearley on Premier Christian Radio. So Rob Bell comes out back in March. He says, I think the ship has sailed. I think the church just needs to just, this is the world we live in. We need to affirm people wherever they are. He's reiterated his position again and again, different places. He says, I think it's time for the church to acknowledge that we have brothers and sisters who are gay, want to share their life with someone. This is a part of life in the modern world. That's how it is. And that cultural consciousness has shifted. And this is how the world is, and that's what's happening for a lot of people, is that they want nothing to do with God and Jesus because they can't see beyond that particular issue. He said that in response to a question that Brearley asked. Now, Wilson went on the, quote, attack. He says, what I don't know is the grounding for that statement. He asked Bell if he would say that two men having sex is not sinful. To which Rob Bell, postmodern that he is, said, I would begin with, I am for monogamy. I'm for fidelity. I'm for commitment. I think the world needs more of that. I think that promiscuity is dangerous and promiscuity is destructive. Some people are gay, want to share their life with someone, and they should be able to. That's how the world is, and we should affirm that. We should affirm monogamy, fidelity, commitment, both gay and straight. And went on to say, does not see same-sex relationships as destructive or evil. Wilson asked if his remark was a positive or negative response to his initial question on homosexual acts being sinful. Which, in other words, Rob, answer the question, yes or no. Are homosexual acts sinful? Rob said, or Wilson said, what I'm trying to get my head around is, do you think it's sinful, but we need to lump it because the world's changed? Or do you think it's not sinful? And if so, do you think the Bible doesn't think it's sinful and that Jesus didn't think it was sinful? Pause. Time out. Another article I came across. I think this is one of Rob Bell's buddies, Tony Kriz, K-R-I-Z. gay marriage, and Christian volatility. Why is this issue so explosive, right? So the volatile compound, there are two. Homosexuality and marriage. Those are two volatile compounds in this whole discussion. He says that when it comes to homosexuality, that first volatile compound, he says that it's on a scale of 1 to 10, 10 being the highest. Homosexuality is valued by the church to be a 10 issue, but the Bible really only values it as like a 3. How does he get to a 3? Well, for one, as Mr. Bell points out in the answer to Mr. Wilson's question, he says, I'm not aware Jesus mentions it, right? And that's precisely where Chris is on this thing. He says that Christians, they take great pride in taking their beliefs, moral priorities from the pages of the Bible. But when you look at it, look at the moral teachings of Jesus in the Gospels, homosexuality gets zero airtime. Goose egg. Jesus is silent on the issue. Either Jesus never felt it was a great enough priority to discuss, or his followers who wrote the Gospels never felt it was important enough to quote. Either way, the Gospels give it the same priority as Egyptian interior decoration, no comment. Wrong, Chris. Wrong. Flat out. Well, then wait a minute, Nick. The Gospel never mentions it. Jesus never doesn't he? You see, I remember, well, it's recorded in 3 of the Gospels, at least, off the top of my head, where Jesus is specifically asked about marriage. And he says, what? Not Adam and Steve, not Madam and Eve, but he goes all the way back to the beginning with Adam and Eve. That's the way God created it. So, by implication, seems as though Jesus is again homosexuality, not to mention Jesus, good Jew that he was and is, no doubt believed in the law. And what does the law say about homosexual behavior? Yeah, Leviticus, you got to reread that one, don't you? Genesis, ooh. A lot of bad stuff in there, but yeah, so I think maybe part of the reason, if you want to say, oh, he's silent on the issue, part of the reason is for him, it was settled in the law. And Jesus is the one who comes on the scene and says, yeah, do not think I've come to abolish the law of the prophets. I didn't come to abolish them, but to fulfill them. He goes on, for truly I say to you, until heaven and earth pass away, not an iota, not a dot will pass from the law until all is accomplished. Therefore, whoever relaxes one of the least of the commandments. What commandments are you talking about, Jesus? Oh yeah, the law. The Torah. Whoever relaxes one of the least of these commandments teaches others to do the same and will be called least in the kingdom of heaven. But whoever does them and teaches them will be called great in the kingdom of heaven. Yeah, it just seems like maybe, you know, all these guys, they're so smart, man, and I think they outsmart themselves sometimes on some of this stuff. Well, now this is interesting. Folks, I'm sorry, but when you're working with very delicate equipment like I am, sometimes things happen, things go down. Well, my computer just went down for a second. It's back. All right, we're back. Back in action. Let's continue. Okay, so Jesus said zero on it. Now, beyond the Gospels, the Bible, and again, this is Chris talking here, Tony Chris. Beyond the Gospels, the Bible is tepid at best as far as prioritizing homosexuality. In parentheses, I'm not talking about interpretation here, only the objective volume of writing. In parentheses. There are a couple of verses about it in Leviticus. Paul makes comments in Romans, 1 Corinthians, 1 Timothy, a handful of verses. Some people add a few other passages as anecdotal or illustrative. I'm sure he's talking about, stuff like Genesis or Judges, those passages. But even so, the total actual passages covering the topic represent a minuscule amount of the moral teaching of the Bible. This total volume is far less than biblical hot issues like paying taxes, how to treat a slave, proper construction of a tabernacle. More significantly, homosexuality is buried in obscurity under the hundreds, if not thousands, of verses dedicated to the indisputable, quote, level 10 issues of the Bible. Prayer, caring for the poor, loving your neighbor, proclaiming the kingdom. Listen, Chris, try to focus here, would you? Because if the Bible just says one time that something is wrong, sinful, immoral, well, is that enough? Wouldn't God saying it just one time be enough? You just gave us a handful, right? So if God says it more than once, maybe it's a little more important than you're letting on here. So, back to Mr. Bell. I'm not aware that Jesus mentions it. I think you have about 5 verses that you can read a number of different ways. And there you go. There you go. Yeah, you can read these few little verses in the Bible just so many different ways. I mean, who can understand the Bible, right? We should just go back to Catholicism and let a bunch of priests figure this stuff out for us. We'll just go to them and have them interpret. Or maybe we can read the scripture and these sayings are just about as plain as the nose on your face or the glasses on your face. You're so trendy. So trendy, Rob. There is a large Christian tradition that sees this as there are scriptures that speak to this, but I don't think you make it an overwhelmingly case against it. That's how Rob finishes off his little quotation there. Yeah. So, this article continues here. And Andrew Wilson, he asked Bell if his position is that homosexual acts are not a problem for God, and that if he would say that if Paul and Jesus are understood properly, people would find that they genuinely didn't have a problem with guys having sex with guys. Quote, that's how he puts it. And here's what Bell said. Bell said, I think Paul had his answer to that question tied up in worship of all sorts of other deities. I think it was all one giant hairball in Paul's day. And that for him, that was the temple, and there was the temple of other gods who were opposed to the God of Israel, and that went on in there. So I think when Paul was talking about this issue, for him it's tied up in all sorts of idolatry, it's all sorts of rejection of God. So I don't want to pull the various issues apart. I don't think they had a cultural conception. And he was cut off by Wilson, who puts a scenario to him. But let's just, would you analyze what he's saying there for just a second? It's all about worship. That's what, and oh, by the way, that's the way that I think I've talked about this before. The argument is that it's not about the acts themselves of, you know, the acts that go on in a sexualized relationship between men and men or women and women. The acts in and of themselves aren't evil, but it's the context in which those acts are engaged in. If it's not a loving relationship, well, that's bad. Or Or all those Leviticus passages had to do with uncleanness because it was all about, you know, temple worship and worship of other deities and stuff like that. That's why those acts are bad. But if they're in the context of a loving Christian relationship, well, hey, who are we? Who are we to judge, right?
Mm-hmm.
You see how enlightened they are? Mr. Bell, you are so, so smart. You figured it out. You're so much more enlightened than someone like me. When I come to Scripture and I read it, and poor, stupid me, it seems pretty straightforward that this sexual preference stuff, it's not about this sexual preference stuff or orientation. That's the way that's the words that they use, but it's not. It's a preference. It's a choice. It's behavior. That's learned, by the way. Sex outside of the marriage relationship between a husband and his wife is wrong, flat out, whether we're talking about premarital, extramarital, postmarital, in the case in which a spouse dies, you get it, or homosexual. Mm-hmm. Where am I? Oh, boy. This half hour brought to you by... Got to take a break here. The Merced Church of Christ, located at 2050 Yosemite Parkway. The Merced Church of Christ is composed of people devoted to the Word of God, people devoted to the worship of God, and people devoted to the work of God. Our purpose is to worship God, proclaiming His love and salvation in Christ, and to care for the lost and for one another. The Merced Church of Christ meets every Lord's Day, that's Sunday, for Bible study at 9:30 a.m., morning worship at 10:30 a.m., and evening worship at 6 p.m. We also meet for midweek service on Wednesday for Bible study at 7 p.m. She's served by her preaching minister, Nick Perez, yours truly. Go online and visit www.mercedchurchofchrist.org. Merced Church of Christ, a friendly church with a vital message. Oh, yeah, I'll keep going on this. Just a couple more things. Because Wilson puts a scenario before Rob Bell. Said about the Apostle Paul. Scenario of the Apostle Paul having to deal with homosexuality at the church in Corinth. There's two gay men at the church in Corinth. They're having sex together. They're worshiping idols. Paul's going to say, "That's great, guys. Go for it. We need more of that." Is that what you believe is true of Paul? This is Wilson's question to Rob Bell. Rob Bell says, "I think Paul didn't have the cultural framework or conception operating around." Paul, in other words, Paul is too stupid. His culture is so unenlightened. You know, they didn't have the mental faculties and the operating abilities to be able to put all this stuff together. He goes on, "I think he had men and boys. I think he had temples. I don't think he was talking about what we're talking about in 2013, which is two committed people in a same-sex relationship." So I would start there. Rob Bell got a little hot under the collar, I guess. That's the takeaway from this. He's on his tour. They did end the discussion amicably. And so that's the article continues. But Rob Bell shocked the evangelical world back in March with his newfound conclusions about homosexual relationships. There he is once again making an appearance. I want to be clear. If this comes across as caustic, if it comes across as too much passion involved in it, whatever, you got to understand, it's not directed at the person. It's not directed at Rob Bell, the person, per se. I never met the guy. You know, I don't know if he's a cool guy. He seems pretty trendy with his... mock turtlenecks and glasses and all that stuff. So I don't know the guy. I don't know him personally. So it's not a personal attack. This comes down to truth and error. I was sitting down studying with a fellow. He said, you know, I was talking about, you know, this church will teach this, this church will teach that, but, you know, here in the Church of Christ, I just want to say what the Bible says. And I'm sure that's what these other denominations, what they're trying to do as well. But typically, they're promoting man-made creeds or doctrines or what have you. And this guy said, look, no, I don't want to get caught up in this church war. You know, that church bad, that church, whatever. I said, it's not about a church war. It's not about a church war. It's about a war against error. And oh, by the way, another word for error is lie. And who's the father of lies? That's Satan. So this is a war against the kingdom of darkness. I'm sure there are nice, sincere people out here in all these different denominations, but unfortunately, they're sincerely either misguided or sincerely flat out wrong. Rob Bell may be just as sincere down to his toenails as can be. But when it comes to this issue in particular, and there are others, I'm sure, but when it comes down to this, and this, it's just because this is the issue du jour, I guess, he's flat out wrong. He is promoting doctrinal heresy. And I could stand idly by, and I could do nothing, but I've got the capabilities to engage this to some degree. And so I do. And that's why I bring it up. Rob Bell is propagating heresy and error, promoting it. Probably going to write a book about it, go on some book tour as well in regards to human sexuality. Even though he's already written the book Sex God, he'll probably write the next book Same Sex God or something like that. I don't know. And by the way, Rob, if you steal that title, you owe me some royalties. I'm just kidding. I mean, if you didn't laugh about something, you'd cry all day, right? So that's why I bring it up. This is a war on error, a war on lies, a war against Satan and his kingdom and his, and he seems to be winning right now, but we know the end of the story, don't we? Jesus, King of Kings, Lord of Lords, he will be victorious ultimately and finally when it's all said and done. Revelation, check it out. The other thing I want to say about this. Rob Bell has a big voice. He gets a lot of airtime. The mic gets put in his face a lot. And so for him to run around saying these things, as a pastor, former pastor of the Mars Hill mega church, for him to run around saying these things, misleading, misguiding people with this erroneous doctrine, to me, that's a big deal. And so, I've got my little mic here, right? Part of this is to identify error when it shows its ugly face, right? To point out lies when they propagate. And here's another instance. I started the show, I said I hate to bring this stuff up, but it just keeps coming up, and I assume it's going to keep coming up. And it's an awful thing to see a guy self. You know, he's pastor, former pastor of mega church, got a big platform. To see him running around saying the things that he's saying, and people are buying into it. People are buying into this error. They're buying error wholesale. And, I mean, what do you do? I'll tell you what I'm going to continue to do. I'm going to continue to, through this medium, continue to vocalize truth. And the truth, it comes from the Word of God. It's not something that I come up with. It's not something that I outsmarted myself with and came up with. But simply the truth of God that God has revealed in His Word. As I've said before, so now I say again, obviously with this I wholeheartedly disagree with Rob Bell. Homosexuality, homosexual behavior, is wrong. Paul says those who practice those things don't inherit the kingdom of God. If it is your habitual practice to gratify the flesh, and oh by the way, this is true for any sin. You got to understand that. But because, again, this is getting a lot of airplay. So if it is your habitual practice to engage in same-sex, homosexual relations, you're not a part of the kingdom. As Chris Broussard pointed out, it is open rebellion to God. There was another article, Chris Broussard from ESPN. He said he's getting a lot of hate, but God's being glorified. I don't know exactly where Broussard is in terms of his faith and beliefs, but it's certainly commendable what he's doing. He's got a big platform. Bubba Watson came out. He respects Jason Collins, but he believes being gay is sin. Homosexuality is sin, according to the Bible. That's what Bubba Watson believes. And again, the teaching of Scripture is plain, Old and New Testament. And you've really got to perform some script torture, or else get so caught up in, I don't even know, get so caught up in your own genius, your own smarts, that you outsmart yourself as to what the Bible says. You make Scripture say something it doesn't say. Look, I don't doubt that there is a cultural background there in Corinth. But if Paul, who's a smart guy, wants to make a differentiation between, oh yeah, temple worship and sexual relationships and, you know, just normal everyday run of the mill, there's a way of doing that. He could have done that. But here's the other kicker, Rob. When it comes to the temple of God, who's that today? I'm out of time. Feel free to leave a comment on the website. I always like to hear what you have to say. Also, search Facebook for Life from the Pulpit. You can like my Facebook page there. Get all kinds of updates when we go live with the program. Also, you can follow me on Twitter, @InPulpit, @N as in Nick, Pulpit, P-U-L-P-I-T. Also, be sure and stop by the Life from the Pulpit blog, www.lifefromthepulpit.wordpress.com. All of my commentary is there on Luke, James, and now working through 1 John. All there, all available, all free for you to use and peruse in your everyday Bible study. Also, check out Merced Church of Christ's website, mercedchurchofchrist.org, mercedchurchofchrist.org. Plenty of sermon audio there for you to use and peruse in your everyday Bible study. And, as always, grace be with you all. Thanks for listening.